Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk. And maybe, after all of that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way, thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all of your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something is coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel, or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
This is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
I welcome Katrina Vandenhove, the editorial director and publisher of Nation magazine, also a columnist at the Washington Post. I recall that in the middle of November 2022, Katrina asked the question in her column, "Where is diplomacy?" The answer is in the headlines from London. Russia hunts down patriotic actor for saying he could fight for Ukraine. Or Olaf Scholz under pressure to release Leopard 2 tanks to Ukraine after Poland and Finland pledge. Or Britain considers sending Challenger 2 main battle tanks to Ukraine. Or Russia faces defense dilemma as it braces for, quote, major Ukrainian counteroffensive. That's enough. Katrina, I come to you. Nowhere is the word diplomacy mentioned. I would say your question is still pertinent. Where is diplomacy? This appears to be an escalation with these main battle tanks shipped into Ukraine. What is your measure of where we are as we begin the second calendar year of the war in Europe? Good evening to you.
Thank you, John. As we approach the first February 24th, the anniversary of this war, it does appear that all the focus is what happens on the battlefield. And, you know, there are essentially three possibilities: Ukrainian breakthrough, Russian breakthrough, or stalemate, roughly along the present lines. But I think what's lost here is that any of these three most likely scenarios are fraught with difficulties, absent a successful negotiated settlement, which we've been talking about for a long while. But the focus appears to be using Ukraine almost as a petri dish for not new weapons, but weapons like the Bradley or the armored trucks escalating. And, you know, there's still not enough discussion about the possibility of a slide towards nuclear war between Russia and the United States if the escalation is so drastic. There, you know, it's very hard, John. In the fog of war, it's always difficult to understand the casualty figures, the battle figures. But, you know, there's a view Ukraine is on the road to victory, or that Ukraine needs to be strengthened if there's any effort toward negotiation at a table. But clearly the risk of escalation to full-scale war between NATO and Russia is higher as a result of these offensives. So I do continue to think that absent a negotiated settlement, perhaps it's like an armistice, or as Anatole Levin at Responsible Statecraft writes, like Kashmir or Pakistan. But barring a breakthrough, the prospect of an indefinite bloody stalemate, as we've talked about, is reminiscent of World War I. And I think we're also we need to factor in the weather. It's been unusual in Europe, John. I believe it's a warmer winter than understood it would be. And there's now the issue, not to sound like a failed general, of mud versus frozen land and what that means in terms of the battles. But I continue to think that both sides are becoming exhausted, that Russia has the upper hand in terms of its armory, and that absent a negotiated ceasefire, negotiations to reach a settlement or at least minimize armed tensions, we're going to be witnessing ongoing war into the next year.
The major risk is a NATO war, not just a Ukraine conflict.
That's right.
A war between NATO. How do you judge that possibility at this moment? Because there are provocative voices everywhere.
I think NATO is experiencing a more difficult time than is understood in the reporting, because not all members, and I go back in my old-fashioned way to Donald Rumsfeld's talk of old Europe, Spain, Italy, Germany, France, different intentions, I think, than some of the new Europe, the Baltics, if that's possible to say Europe, but Poland, Poland, the Czech Republic is small and different. There were protests there over this past weekend about the war. But I do think NATO is more divided. And I think the stress on NATO as an institution, including the European Union, as it looks out at the possibility of a second year of the demands of Ukraine to survive as a nation. I believe, John, maybe you heard $5 billion a month. The infrastructure, the ravaged infrastructure may be leading some pragmatic Ukrainians who have shown how heroic they've been, but understand the ravaged infrastructure will take time to rebuild. So there are some people thinking more long term. And I think even within Ukraine, there's more dissension now about NATO and the length of continuing to fight. Remember, NATO, you know, Ukraine, this is heretical to say, but there is a long history of a divided country, the East, the Donbas region, which, by the way, that is where the outline of a settlement is. If Russia can work out with Ukraine, and the hatred is so deep, obviously, but the Donbas region is really the central piece. Crimea, it seems, needs to be put off, almost like a frozen conflict, which we've lived with in other ways. I hate to sound so 30,000 feet above the ground, because there are lives here, and the refugees, the misery, the killings, that's what we need to focus on in terms of the importance, the urgency of some kind of ceasefire into negotiation.
Your decades of traveling to the Russia and also studying this part of the world, is this a civil war, Katrina, between Russia and Russia?
Russia and Russia. I mean, I think you have within Russia many who don't want this war, but their voices are not heard above the fray of an establishment under siege. What's striking to me, and we have a 4,000-word article about what's happened is NATO. The NATO expansion was dismissed by many as not relevant because Putin spewed his ideological framework of the empire. But NATO expansion and the opposition to NATO expansion is spread along the spectrum of Russian politics. It is not just Putin or his cronies. This is a deeply held view, concern about security. So I think that is where the, is going to have to factor in to some ceasefire. That may be tough, but Ukraine, you know, in the position it's in now, the tragic situation, the, you know, infrastructure and the economy, isn't poised to enter NATO as it is. This has always been the need to stop the fighting on the territory, but also organize itself. So, I think Russia against Russia, I mean, sure, they're within the forces of Russia. There's, you know, a small Yabloko party run by a very good person, Grigory Yavlinsky, which is anti-war. There are anti-war forces. But that's not the power position now, John. You've done, I'm sure, programs on the rise, as is the case when war afflicts countries. In both countries, Ukraine, Russia, the United States, the rise of extremist nationalist forces often rise, as I've seen in my time in Moscow, to overtake those who are more interested in alternatives.
The Biden administration right now, the president, because he did very well in the midterms, has control of foreign policy. He has the Senate Foreign Relations Committee, very powerful. Does he have an opportunity to seek peace?
Yes, and I would urge people to look at David Ignatius in the Washington Post, his conversation with Jake Sullivan, the National Security Advisor. I think there are so many other real security demands. And I think the kind of view that China is an adversarial power, or that we must commit everything to Ukraine, I think that's being tested. And I think that Biden is more pragmatic, but the forces within Washington will be complex, because I do think some of these the Republicans want to cut a defense budget, this and that. We'll see how that plays out. But I do think Biden, within the context of a Washington quite hawkish, to say the least, is pragmatic. So he will be tested, and he's not going to be able to do that much domestically. So the foreign policy area will be very important.
Katrina Vandenhoven, writing for The Washington Post, the columnist, the editorial director and publisher of The Nation magazine. I'm John Batchelor.
This is Matt Rogers from Los Culturistas with Matt Rogers and Bowen Yang.
This is Bowen Yang from Los Culturistas with Matt Rogers and Bowen Yang.
Hey, Bowen, it's gift season.
Ugh, stressing me out. Why are the people I love so hard to shop for?
Probably because they only make boring gift guides that are totally uninspired. Except for the guide we made.
In partnership with Marshalls, where premium gifts meet incredible value.
It's giving gifts! With categories like best gifts for the mom whose idea of a sensible walking shoe is a stiletto.
Or best gifts for me that were so thoughtful I really shouldn't have.
Check out the guide on Marshalls.com.
And gift the good stuff at Marshalls.
This time of year, most of us are checking off our holiday gift lists. But identity thieves have lists too, and your personal information might be on them. Protect your identity with LifeLock. LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second and alerts you to threats you could miss. If your identity is stolen, LifeLock will fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Make this season about joy, not identity theft, with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No